Hello and welcome to CEO Power Talk, a space where C-level executives share their personal and corporate mission, vision, and strategies they've acquired to hold the highest ranking position in their organization. Our mission is to develop a collective network of change agents that provide access to resources and opportunities for all leaders. I am your host, Laura C. Bullock, and I am so very excited to be with you today. You know, as a strategic coach, I believe that the only way for us to create the life we want is to break through the barriers that paralyze us, challenge the status quo, and stand firm for the life that we want. I want to introduce my guest to you tonight. I have a very special guest. Her name is Carrie Ann Munstead. Carrie Ann is an award-winning portrait photographer and the CEO of her brand. She is a speaker, a coach, an author, and what I know is that as an artist and a nurturer, Carrie Ann fiercely motivates those by using her skills and talents to make women feel confident, empowered, and whole. And there is nothing more unstoppable than a confident and empowered woman. So welcome, Carrie Ann. How are you this evening?
Hi, good, Laura. Thanks for having me today.
How was your day today?
It's been pretty good so far.
Yes, yes. Well, tonight I'm really excited to be able to share the work that you do with our guests. And I've labeled this topic the magic behind the lid because I know based on our conversation, right, I know based on our conversation, that's kind of what I got. That's what I felt. Like there's some magical stuff that happens, not only behind the lens, but also in front of the lens. So why don't you tell our guests a little bit about you and the journey that that has brought you to who you are today?
Oh, wow. How long do we have, Laura? No, I'm just kidding.
As long as you need.
I'll just take the whole 40 minutes to tell. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, in a summary of where I am today, I was working in a corporate job, and it was a really good job, but I just didn't feel like I was making a real difference in the world. Like, again, it was a good job. I made lots of money. I had good benefits. You know, it was a nice place to go to. All those, like, security things. I would look out my window in my office and just be like, you know, gosh, I don't feel like I'm making any contribution to this world. And I don't feel like my soul is being fulfilled in any way. So I started kind of trying to figure out what that would look like to me to feel like I was contributing, to feel like, you know, like my soul was fulfilled. And it kind of brought me back to the thing that I grew up doing as a child, loving as a child, and that was photography. So I started exploring, like, you know, what kind of photography I wanted to go into. Did I want to take landscape pictures or architect pictures? You know, like, what kind of photography did I want to go into? I started photographing families and children and all sorts of stuff. And then as I was building my website and my social media, I realized, wow, like, I don't have any photos of myself. And it was a real, like, light bulb moment because, you know, it's like I was at my highest weight that I had ever been. You know, all these things started coming up for me as to why I didn't exist in photos for like a whole decade of my life. But, you know, I knew that I needed to have some photos of myself if I was going to, you know, promote my website, promote my social media. So I scheduled a session with a portrait photographer, and you know, going into that session, I was filled with so much anxiety, like, you know, all those voices in my head, you know, those negative voices really of perfectionism were in my head saying, you're too fat to be photographed. That photographer, she's not going to want to photograph you. Who do you think you are? Right. All these negative perfectionist voices were going on in my head. And, you know, but even with those voices in my head, you know, with anxiety and those voices in my head, I went to that photo session anyway. I did it anyway. And
oh,
I am so, like, that was, like, the most defining change in my life, just having the courage to be photographed in that particular moment, because just that experience changed my whole trajectory in life. She was a photographer for women, and it was amazing how she made me feel in front of the camera. Like, before I had even seen any of the pictures, I felt so wonderful being photographed by her. And I knew that I wanted to give that same feeling to other women as well. So that's kind of what set me on this trajectory of photographing women. And now I do that. I photograph women, women business owners, women professionals, either for their business or for more on the beauty side, the personal side, just so we can have beautiful photos of ourselves that help increase our confidence and our power. So I know that was kind of a long explanation of what I do, but that was kind of my path to becoming a photographer. And then one other quick little part of this. So you know, photographing, you know, hundreds of women over time, what I started noticing is lots of women were being held back from existing in photos themselves because of that fear of not being perfect enough, right? Not being thin enough, not being young enough. Not being successful enough, right? All those things were in their heads telling them that they couldn't invest in themselves for photos because, you know, they weren't good enough. So I started thinking, wow, if women are being held back from existing in photos because of this perfectionist voice in their head, like, what other areas in life are they being held back in because of those perfectionist voices? So last year when COVID hit, and I couldn't really photograph anyone for a while, I kind of dug in and I created a keynote talk around perfectionism that I now deliver to women's groups kind of across the United States. And I developed an online virtual coaching program on perfectionism and really just how to shift those negative perfectionist thoughts to more positive, kind, loving thoughts so we can, you know, get unstuck and really live our most amazing lives. So that's how I got to where I am today.
I love that journey. It's so amazing. So then,
thank you.
How has photography changed your view of your purpose?
How has it changed my view of what?
Your purpose.
Of my purpose?
So before you were, yes, your purpose,
before when I was sitting in that corporate job and I didn't really feel like I had a purpose, right? And now I know that it's, you know, you wouldn't think that photography is a bigger purpose maybe, but it really is, because now I see my purpose more as using photography as a tool to help women shift their mindset, right? When they can see a beautiful photo of themselves that they love, they start talking kinder to themselves, right? Keeping that kindness, you know, having that kinder way of speaking to ourselves then helps us speak kinder to our children and our partners and our colleagues and our clients and everyone. And I honestly feel like it creates a social change. And that can actually really spark just from seeing a photo of yourself that you love. So I feel like my purpose is so much bigger now about helping shift mindsets and just, you know, be kinder to ourselves just to have a more kinder, loving world.
You know, and that is one of the really important pieces of this conversation for tonight. And I want to just jump just for a second to say, you know, in your bio, you spoke about your journey from this, you know, childhood experience of abuse and fear and all of that, and getting to know yourself more authentically. So share that. I know you touched on it a little bit, but go just a little bit deeper into that conversation, because I thought that was so powerful as well.
Yeah, it really is. So I grew up with a very emotionally, physically abusive adult in my life. And the way that I learned to, you know, we all develop tools when we're faced with situations, right? And the tool that I learned to to not get hit, to not get in trouble, was to be perfect, right? That was the tool that I learned. So I became perfect at everything. And I know that maybe sounds like vain and like but you know, it's just like, okay, if I can be perfect in school, then I won't ever get in trouble because of my grades, you know? If I can be perfect in sports, I'll never get in trouble for missing a ball or something like that, you know? If I can diet to have the perfect body, I'll never get in trouble for overeating, right? So I developed this kind of persona of perfectionism, and it was a mask because of course I was not a perfect person. There's no such thing. But I thought I told myself that if I could just be perfect, that I wouldn't get hit, that I wouldn't get in trouble, and that worked for me for the most part. I mean, it worked. However, what happened is that, I never knew who I was because I was always so worried about protecting myself and being perfect that I never actually knew who I was. I never got to know the real me at all because I was just this perfect mask of a person. So as I got older and older, I didn't know myself. I had no idea who I was. I didn't know my own opinions. I didn't know my own values. And, you know, as I got a little bit older, I started looking in the mirror and I saw something that I did not like at all. I did not like that perfect version of myself that I had become, right? She was a shell of a person who kept people at an arm's length away because if I let them in too closely, they would of course see the cracks in my perfectionism shield, right? And I didn't want anyone to see through those cracks. So honestly, Laura, it kind of takes it back to that story that I started out with when I went to my photo session and you know, I had that amazing experience. And then like, you know, a couple weeks later, I saw the final pictures of myself, right? And I saw this like beautiful, strong, powerful, confident woman looking back at me. And I was like, you know what? Wow. Like, I want to be her. This is who I want to be. And that was really a pivotal moment to kind of start shifting away from the perfect Carrie more towards the authentic Carrie, the real Carrie. Mm-hmm. So that was really the catalyst for starting to get to know myself better. And so that's been about a, 10, 15 year journey. And I'm still, you know, every day perfectionism still shows up for me in some way or another, but because I have embraced authenticity, I've embraced who I am, and I am not for everyone, and that is okay. But I finally know who I am. I finally like who I am. I finally love who I am, and you know, that's a really beautiful place to be in.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I think that's a journey that all of us should really focus on taking, right? Because a lot of times we will shy away from those very difficult moments in life, and we shy away from those things that push us and stretch us. And so, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, "It's not about our experience, because it is important, but it's about how we respond to those experiences." As I listen to you and sharing this story and this journey about yourself, it had to take a lot of courage to kind of take that leap and say, you know what, I'm really not this perfect person. I don't like this version of myself. And let me do something different. So how do you allow this courage to guide you in the work that you do? Because, you know, you had to become that leader in your life first and then allow that leadership courage to kind of evolve into other areas of your business, of your personal life. How does that leadership courage guide you today?
Oh man, that leadership courage guides me in everything that I do now. I feel like I have shifted. I still have perfectionism that comes up, but I feel like I have shifted from a from perfectionism to authenticity to being real. And I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, that is who I am now. So that comes out in everything that I do, in everything that, you know, encompasses my brand. I am highly authentic and real. I do Facebook Live videos and share all sorts of things about my life, because I know that the more open and honest that I am about my life, it inspires others, and then it helps them see that it's okay to be open and honest in their life as well. You know, I am with all of my clients, I am vulnerable with them, I am authentic with them, and what that does is it allows them, it invites them to be vulnerable in front of my camera, to be authentic in front of my camera, so that their real true selves shine through in their photos rather than just some kind of mask of who they think that they should be. So you know, and taking that, so being courageous and leading my life with authenticity and realness and vulnerability, that just, you know, that permeates every aspect of my brand now.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I must say, you have a smile that is infectious. Okay. Every time I was standing waiting on the show to start, and I was looking at your picture, and I was like, man, that's a great smile. So I wanted to let you know. So you are still shining through on the camera in everything you did.
Oh, thank you.
You're very,
you know, well. And when you're real and you can, like, when you feel authentic and you feel like good in your own skin and stuff like that, like that personality and that light inside you just shines through even more. And I think that that light shines through me more now because of the work that I've done on myself. And I think people see that and people are drawn to it. So it's I think when we have a change in our life, right? When I left this kind of, you know, area of perfectionism and change to more being more authentic and vulnerable. You know, change is scary and change can be hard. And sometimes people turn away from us. And, you know, I lost some relationships when I was kind of evolving and changing, and that hurt and that sucked, you know? But what we find is that actually the more open and honest we are, in the end, more people turn towards us than turn away from us. You know, people sense that honesty, they sense that vulnerability and that authenticity, and they turn towards you. So I just encourage everyone kind of going through this kind of change and shift in themselves, that it might be hard at the beginning, but eventually people will turn more towards you.
Yeah, no one likes it. Have a fake quarter, right? You want the real quarter.
Right.
The real 25.
Right.
And you know, when you talk about those that will turn towards you, the more authentic you are, the more vulnerable you can be, and genuinely open to conversation. You know, we had some conversation earlier, I think a week or so ago, about sisterhood. So describe sisterhood and what that means to you.
Oh, describe sisterhood and what that means to me. Oh, man. I just think that sisterhood is, you know, it's not actually, it's women just supporting one another and honoring one another and bolstering each other up and cheering them on, never tearing them down. You know, when I think of the women in my life who are kind of, you know, what I think of my sisters, that's what we all do for each other. We're never there to judge or to criticize. We're there to build up. So that's definitely how I think of sisterhood.
You actually touched on this next question I have for you, and you know, on this specific journey that you've had, what are some of the qualities you're looking for in a sisterhood? What are some of those things that you, non-negotiables?
Oh, non-negotiables. I mean, I think I just kind of said it, right? I mean, non-negotiables are, you know, I think non-negotiables are, for me in a sisterhood, like, this is a really great question. I'm just kind of thinking it through right now, thinking about like my friends and what they are. I think it's, you know, there are things in life that are hard, but to me, mm-hmm. it's like having having a healthy outlook on life, a positive outlook on life. You know, again, it doesn't mean that things aren't hard and things that can't be bad, but it's looking for the solutions mm-hmm. to them rather than dwelling in the problems. It's being joyful and being loving and supportive and helpful. All those things are really non-negotiables to me in the women that are in my life right now.
Yeah, and that's so important. And I know that there are times where we may have to, and I think organically people come and go, right? And so
yeah,
you,
of course, yeah.
You know, if you have those kinds of qualities that you're seeking, well, actually, if you have those qualities that you put out, the law
right.
of attraction will bring that back to you, right? And so
yes.
if you have
yes.
to.
Yes, I love that you just
yeah,
said that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
we have to
yeah,
embody
that's,
those
that's
things. If
so
we
important.
Want people that have that are joyful and loving around us,
yeah.
we have to be that way. I mean, it's like a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely. But I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, it's a no-brainer, but I think some people don't see that also. I mean, we are the energy that we put out into the world, right? So like you said,
mm-hmm.
if I want to be around someone who's joyful and loving and kind and uplifting, that's the type of person that I need to be to attract that person into my life. So I love how you said that, Laura.
Yeah, and I think we can't be afraid to have that kind
right.
of a, I don't want to call it an expectation, but to seek those kinds of qualities that enhances our life, right? We can't be afraid
yeah.
of that, and that brings me back to this courage conversation again, right? So,
yeah,
when
yeah.
we're involved in any kind of a relationship, sisterhood, you know, anything like that,
uh-huh.
what are some of those moments where it's kind of hard to navigate, even though the qualities are there, but you know, you may find some opportunities where it's kind of hard to navigate through those relationships. What is that? Have you had that experience, and if so, what does that look like?
So I don't know. Give me an example, and then let me, as you're giving me an example, I would love to kind of think it through and see if that's impacted me also.
So I can share that I have some really good girlfriends in my circle, and there are times when the perfectionist in me or the teacher in me comes out way too much.
Okay,
and they can read me and say, in the best way they know how to address me, you know, that teacher is coming out again, and that
yeah,
doesn't serve
right.
this conversation, or doesn't, you know, so we're kind of navigating how to continue
yeah.
to support each other, how to be besties, how to be supportive, honoring women, but you need those people that can, for lack of the best term,
yeah.
check you, right? Pull you back in.
Yes.
And so
totally.
How do you navigate through that? Because I can tell you, I have a couple of girlfriends, and we have really mastered this with one another, right? In a way that it's loving, it's supportive, and
yeah.
it's really helping them be as authentic or being the best version of themselves by losing some of those you know, the habits that we may have or some things that we're not looking at so clearly.
Yeah, and you know, I think what it all comes down to is we have to look at it from a very loving, positive, supportive way. Again, not kind of guiding someone in a way of negativity or anything like that, but guiding them in a way that supports them growing as a human being. And also, I think what's really important is to kind of lay out those ground rules with each friend kind of ahead of time too, right? Because they need, and it might be a difficult conversation sometimes. And sometimes we just have to have those difficult conversations in order for us to be able to grow. You know, I'm sure that you guys have figured out over time what works for each of you. You know, what's a what's a gentle, loving way to support each of you. And I'm sure that it's because it's come about because of conversations that you've had. What's coming up for me right now is not necessarily my girlfriend, my sisterhood, but this even applies to our spouses and our partners too, right?
Sure.
sometimes we just kind of we have to support our spouses through these things, and they have to lovingly support us too when we're maybe going down a path that isn't the healthiest for us. So I've had these kind of conversations with my husband, like, okay, if you see me doing something, can you just like lovingly put your hand on my, on my knee to kind of tell me, that something is going on. So it's like, you just have to have those conversations until you figure out what really works for you in a really loving, supportive way.
Yeah. And that's so important. And I, I'm one of those folks that really, examines the words I use very carefully. And so with a lot of women that I mentor and coach, I always share with them, words have power, and you really have to step back and examine how you communicate to people. And I want to ask you kind of a wild question. So when you're photographing women, these business owners, these powerful people, that you can tell there's some kind of anxiety, right? What are some of the words you use? How do you get them comfortable enough to let that guard down and just really let the camera pick up who they are?
Oh, good question. Yeah. Well, you know what, Laura? It doesn't just start when they come in front of the camera, right? I mean, I have had conversations, we've had multiple conversations ahead of time where I am just as loving and kind to them as I can be. And I ask them, what's coming up for you already? What are you feeling? And we talk through that in a really loving, supportive manner, because I'll tell you what a few days before any woman's photo session, she's starting to feel some kind of perfectionism. She's starting to talk negative to herself in her head, right? Like you said, those words, and we're not just talking about words that we say to others, but the words that we say to ourselves, right? They can be even more damaging.
Yes.
So we kind of start working through those, and I help them shift those words. Like, if they're saying this, let's look at it this way, right? If they're saying this to themselves, let's turn that into more an affirming, powerful statement for you. And then, the day of their photo session, they are just welcomed in. Well, they used to be welcomed in with hugs, but, we haven't been able to do much hugging these days. But, they're welcomed in with a warm smile and laughter. And, as soon as they get in front of the camera, I am just encouraging them as much as I can, telling them how beautiful they look in every moment, because, that's all that I see is the beauty of a woman when she steps in front of my camera. So I am just telling her that she's gorgeous and beautiful, and just filling her with love and confidence. And it's amazing to see kind of a woman bloom in front of my camera, because they might start off a little bit shy, but then by the end they're like supermodels, because they just they're really full of themselves, it's just all those words, it's just all those affirming words of positivity that I just infuse throughout the entire experience with them.
Awesome. And so who are the women that you're taking pictures of? I know you described them very kind of generically, but give me an example of who those women would be.
Oh, goodness. So I have my computer screen right in front of me, and I've been staring at one of them for this entire time. The women that come to me to be photographed are typically women professionals or women business owners. So I do a lot of what's called branding photography. So that is that's for people who are business owners or who are in some kind of position where they need to have photos of themselves on a website or social media, all those types of things. So, she's typically in her, mid-30s to 60s or 70s, and, she probably doesn't necessarily like having photos taken of herself. She maybe doesn't exist in a lot of photos because she hasn't liked how she looked, or maybe she's gained a little bit of weight, or she's a little bit older. And I always say it's so funny because the first thing I hear from most women is, I hate to have pictures of myself taken. And it's always just such a funny thing to me. I mean, I totally understand it, but it's a funny thing that, like, I'm excited to work with people who are already saying that they hate to have pictures of them because I know that I can change how they see themselves in these photos. So whether it's for branding or for I do something called beauty too. So it's just more intimate photos, photos that are more for ourselves rather than necessarily for our businesses. But she's still typically the same person, you know, in her mid-30s to 60s, and she hasn't seen her beauty and her femininity and her vibrancy in years, and she wants to see that again. So those are the women who typically are there in front of my camera, and I am just, you know, if you talk about a sisterhood, Laura, well, honestly, before I started in this line of work, I didn't have a lot of girlfriends, and now I just feel like, you know, and we talked about the energy that we put out there, right? Like, I attract amazing women into my business that I'm friends with all of them now. So it's because of what I put out there, they come back and now I'm just surrounded by this amazing sisterhood of women. And it's literally been one of the most beautiful things about becoming a photographer for women is all the relationships that I have now with my clients.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love it. So now you mentioned to me a special project that you're going to be working on. Are you in a position to talk about that?
Sure.
Awesome.
Are you talking about the 40 over 40 project? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I started this year an amazing new project called 40 over 40. And so what I am setting out to do this year is to photograph 40 amazing women over the age of 40. And so it doesn't just have to be in your 40s, but it could be in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, you know, whatever age over 40. Because, you know, what I think society has told us is that the older we get, the more invisible we become, the less beautiful we are, the less worthy we are. I don't know why society does this, but it really places so much emphasis on youth and beauty so that as women age, we just feel like we're not good enough anymore. Mm-hmm. So this project is really to highlight the beauty and the confidence and the wisdom of women that are ages 40 and above. What kind of this project is going to be culminating in is that I'm going to be creating like a custom magazine to highlight not only their photos but also their stories about, you know, how they feel being a woman over 40 and, you know, what their dreams are still for their lives and what they would maybe tell their younger self. And then in December, COVID willing, of course, I am going to be doing an art exhibit at my studio, showcasing large wall portraits of all of these beautiful women in an art exhibit, and you know, have a party there just to celebrate all these women. So it's a really amazing project that I'm hoping you are going to be a part of too.
I'm going to be a part of it. I promise you.
Awesome! Yay!
I'm gonna make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. I love the idea and the concept. And I just got all excited just being offered the opportunity to participate. Count me in. I'm absolutely going to be there for sure.
Yay. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes. So now let me turn to this question. You're doing all this amazing work and you're focused so much on helping others find their beauty, helping others become more confident. How do you keep yourself centered and focused in all of that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's really easy to kind of lose yourself when you're kind of doing for others a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think two of the biggest ways that I keep myself centered are, one, I have a 2-year-old son. So he brings,
okay.
Right. Like, you just say toddler and you know that, you know,
right,
but
right.
He's so wonderful. I love him so much. And, you know, it's like, I have to put away work to go and spend time with him. Right. Like, I mean, I find so much joy in him. So that's one thing that kind of pulls me kind of back into, you know, kind of like self-care for myself. But I consider time with him self-care for me because he's just such a joy. I do things. I get up early. I have a routine that I kind of do in the morning that involves some meditating and some journaling and reading and all sorts of stuff. And I exercise quite a bit too. I made this commitment to myself about 6 months ago that I would try to walk one 5K walk, which is 3.12 miles, one 5K
okay.
walk a week. So 52 5Ks in 52 weeks was my commitment to myself to really get myself exercising again. And
awesome.
Yeah, but I'm about halfway through that. I'm about 26 weeks,
okay.
and I only have 8 5Ks to walk. And so I'm going to accomplish that goal in half the time that I set out for it. So that's been a really big piece of kind of self-care and staying grounded, is just taking that time for myself to really exercise as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And there's so many different opportunities to get healthier nowadays, right? We used to be working so much. We would, the earth would have to shatter before we would take a break. And now, with all that has happened over the last year and moving into this year,
oh gosh,
it's really challenging.
You have to take a break.
Really, take a break and really pay attention
you
to
have
your
to.
Body, your health. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. Yep.
So one 5K. Wow.
One 5K
a week,
for 50, every week for 52 weeks. Yeah, and I'm gonna actually finish that within 26 weeks. So yeah, it's been a cool project. And what was amazing too was that I kind of had this idea to do this on my own, and I told Facebook Land about it, and then like 100 women wanted to do it with me. So now I have this like Facebook group that people can join, right? Called 52 5Ks in 52 weeks with Carrie Ann Munstead. People can join it and they can go on their own journey of walking with me. Yeah, it's been a really cool thing.
That is, see what happens when you put the energy out, the energy comes back.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. And vulnerable, you know, here's the thing, like when I started this whole thing, I was 280 pounds and I've lost about 30 pounds at this point. But you know, I put that all out there. Like I'm vulnerable and I share, you know what, I'm at this weight. If I can do this, you can too. I'm at this level of being able, I'm not very active. So if I can do this, you can too. I'm very open and honest and vulnerable. And that really invites other people to feel like they can, you know, be vulnerable, and they gain a lot of inspiration from that. So it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier, you know, even though sometimes it's kind of hard to share, you know, things about our bodies that we, you know, maybe want to change, but you know, it is what it is. You know, the more that we are open, willing to share that kind of stuff, the more we will inspire others to be able to do those things as well.
Well, I can share with you personally, I'm guilty of that. I have a media partner that is kicking me every chance she gets to get on video. You have to share. You have to, you know, connect with your audience. And so I am I'm making a commitment to get to start. And so I started with my health journey, right? And so I'm sharing some things on my health journey and enjoying cooking more and enjoying eating different foods more and sharing my hesitation around trying new foods, right? So I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I've been one of those people that have been behind the scenes for so long.
That's really great to hear,
so
Laura. And if you ever want to practice doing anything on video, you just let me know, because I've been through that same journey too, right? Like I do a lot of videos, and sometimes it was hard just like when I first started, it was hard to see myself on video, right? But but just over time it gets easier, and then it's like now I go on without any makeup, without my hair done. I'm just like, you know, this is me, take it or leave it.
Yep.
I hope you take it. But so you know, it kind of evolves over time.
Yes. You know, we are in March, so this is Women's History Month.
Yeah.
So I want to give you an opportunity to shout out to a woman who inspires you to be your authentic self.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a great thing to say. Yeah, I mean, there are so many, but I think that one of the women, I mean, you're going to, of course, know this name. Gosh, there's a few of them. It's not someone that I personally know, but Brené Brown. I mean, I'm sure that you know her teaching.
Yeah.
So many people do.
Yeah.
You know, I've been following her. She's kind of been this person who's kind of led the way in terms of, you know, shame and authenticity. And
mm-hmm.
the more that I read about that stuff, and the more that I see her just being herself, and the more that I feel like I'm able to too. There are so many women out there on social media, especially on Instagram, that are like plus size women who are just putting themselves out
mm-hmm.
there, you know, like this is my body. Like there is nothing wrong with this body that I am in, you know, like I love their messages that they're putting out there because it's just, you know, it's normalizing everybody rather than, you know, putting a preference on a certain body type.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
mm-hmm.
I am inspired. I know it's hard to say like an exact person, but I am inspired daily from people that I see having the courage to be vulnerable and authentic, and kind of put it out to the world. You know, sometimes they get some real haters saying things to them.
Yep.
They get some really negative comments, and yet, you know what?
Yep.
They show
yep.
up the next day and they do it all over again. And that really takes a lot of courage. So I am,
it really does.
I am inspired and awed every day by women who are able to do that.
That is very true. And I agree with you, that it does take a lot of courage to do that. And I'm trying to find my courage to get on that video.
Yeah,
and try
well,
to, you know,
like
and
I
allow
said,
myself
I,
to be vulnerable.
Yeah, and then you're going to move these power talks to actually being on video too one of these days, I bet.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I am.
You think you can do that?
It's coming.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Coming.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
I'm really I'm really Zoomed out right now, so I feel like I'm kind of an expert around Zoom. So I feel comfortable on Zoom, but,
yeah.
you know, it's not live. It's not the same, right? So it's
yeah.
you record it, and then,
it's,
you know, you send it out
yeah.
later.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of like you can make changes
step.
To it if you need to or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're live
mm-hmm.
and you mess up a little bit, and people see that, right? It's like that whole perfectionism thing coming back again, right? Like
yes,
we have
ma'am.
To be perfect, but
yes,
you know, it's okay. If you watch any video, people mess up all the time in videos, and we just keep going, and that's real life, right?
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
gonna hold you to it, Laura. I'm gonna be your biggest
okay.
cheerleader as you move to video.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I definitely do. I love cheerleaders, and my sisterhood is always
yeah.
in my corner. So I'm going to add you to my
yeah.
sisterhood group, and we're going to
yes.
be cheering me on beyond these videos, because you know a lot of times
awesome.
Those things give me high anxiety. I don't know why, but they
yeah.
But can speak in front
my
of
friend,
hundreds of people.
You are not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't show up both in video and in photos. You know, it's kind of the same thing
mm-hmm.
because. Just because of the high anxiety that they have for certain things. So, you know,
mm-hmm,
it just takes
mm-hmm.
practice, and it takes bravery. It takes practice, and it takes, you know, going into it, you're going to have that fear and anxiety by your side no matter what. So
yeah,
just
yeah.
kind of walk through it and do it anyway. And it'll get better and better over time.
Well, I'm reading Joyce Meyer's book, Do It Afraid. So that's helping me.
What is it called?
Do It Afraid.
Oh, Do It Afraid. Yeah, exactly.
Do It Afraid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love
so that's,
it. Yep, exactly. That's, Do It Afraid. Yep.
It's helping. That one is helping me out tremendously.
Good. Good.
So I know you you talked about your project, 40 over 40. And so what do mm-hmm. you have on the horizon beyond the 40 over 40 project? Are you seeing anything? Is there anything pulling at you right now for what would be next?
That
for
is a great. Yeah, that's a really great question. I've got more coaching coming up. I'm, you know, helping women dive deeper into the perfection, like the different areas of perfectionism that are holding them back. So I have more mm-hmm. coaching coming up. And I have actually just this week, I'm kind of taking the 40 over 40 project on the road and merging it a little bit with perfectionism and with self-care. And we're going to do a retreat this summer. That's a like a 3-day, 4-night retreat where it's kind of like self inner love, self love, and kind of like loving our bodies also. So it's gonna we're gonna do some coaching around perfectionism. We're gonna take a lot of time for self care, self love, and I'm gonna photograph them as part of the project too. So you know, some kind of combinations of different areas that I'm in are kind of culminating, and it's all coming together now into kind of bigger experiences for women, just to serve them even more. So that's a really exciting thing that's coming up on the horizon in the summer for me.
All right, wonderful. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll get some information around that retreat because I'm always looking for opportunities to get away, right, and just recenter and focus and, you know, self-care, mm-hmm. all of that is so important in this process of being business owners.
Yeah, that's
owners
what it's
going to
be all
because,
about.
Yes. It's so, you know, the intentionality of it all is what I love most about it.
Exactly.
So, Carrie-Anne,
exactly.
What kind of books do you have on your CEO bookshelf?
What kind of books do I have on my CEO bookshelf? That is a great question. I'm looking kind of around my office right now to see, like, literally what's on my bookshelf. I am reading – right now I'm reading Profit First by Michael Michalowicz.
Okay.
And let's see. I'm just looking around. I just finished reading The Surrender Experiment by I think his name was Michael Singer, I think. I'm about to start reading a book called Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less, and it's by Greg McKeown. And mm-hmm. some of my go-tos that I go back and read often are like Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic, Untamed by Glennon Doyle, and stuff like that. So those are just kind of
awesome.
Taking a quick glance around. Those are what I'm reading right now.
Those are some good ones. You know, I've been doing a lot more audio books.
I love audio.
Just because I'm always doing something and I like to listen at the same time. And but it gives me a lot more comfort in hearing the author.
I completely agree. I love listening to audiobooks because I love hearing like the inflection and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's so much more emotion in a story, I think, when it's from the person who actually wrote it. So I agree. I love audiobooks.
Yeah.
I just finished listening to one. Doing all these 5K walks has given me a lot of time to be able to listen to my audiobooks. So it's been a really great way to catch up on some reading too.
Awesome. So how can people find you?
Yes, that's a great question. So you can find me anywhere at Carrie-Anne Munstead. And I know, right, like, good luck spelling that, right? It's Carrie-Anne, K-A-R-I-A-N-N-E. And then it's Munstead, M-U-N-S-T-E-D-T. You can find me on my website, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest. I think the only place I'm not really is Twitter. I just never got into it. But you can find me pretty much every other place. Just do a search for Carrie-Anne Munstead. I'm the only one in the world, and you'll find me.
Well, now, isn't that a blessing, right?
I know, right?
You really are. You know, as one of the pastors I listen to a lot says, you really are a designer's original.
Right? Exactly. I really am.
There is only one.
There is only one of me. I married into a very unique last name. So with my unique
mm-hmm.
first name and my unique last name, it really sets me, it's, you know, it makes it easy for people to find me.
Awesome. So, Carrie Ann, I always like to end my show with my guests sharing three CEO power tips for our audience. That's kind of woven in the fabric of who you are. So these are things that just come very natural to you, but they're power tips for our audience.
Mm-hmm. Three CEO power tips. Let's see
mm-hmm.
here. I would say we've talked about this. Be as real as you can possibly be. You know, set aside the mask of perfection and be who you are, because the more of who you are that you put out, the more that people who are attracted to who you are will come to you. Another one is never assume anything, like literally never
right.
assume anything. So that saved me time and time again. And I think the third thing is just always make time for yourself too, because if you're not making time for yourself, you can't serve others as fully as you want to if you're not taking time to you know, recharge yourself as well. So those are definitely
Absolutely.
Three tips that I would say.
Awesome. I love those. Those are very good. That number two really resonates with me right now.
Yeah.
Never assume
yeah.
anything. Yeah. Because we
never
do that, right?
assume anything. Always
anything.
Ask.
Anything.
yeah.
right,
yeah.
right. Well, Carrie Ann, I want to thank you for such a wonderful discussion. I always enjoy talking with you, and tonight has been really, really good. And just really digging into, you know, your journey and how you became this
yeah.
renowned photographer, and how really all of our experiences really will shape who we are if we allow ourselves to learn from them, and how we respond
exactly.
to them is the most important
yeah.
Is the most important thing about those experiences. So I do with
you
I
said that
thank
you said that earlier, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Yes, it really is great. So thank you so much for your time tonight. I want to thank my Power Talk community. I want to thank my marketing team for ensuring that our voices are heard through CEO Power Talk podcast program. I want to thank you to my sponsor tonight, Living Vertical, and you can find them on livingvertical.com. Also, I would love to thank all of my listeners tonight, and know that you can find us, CEO Power Talk, on Facebook and Instagram at CEO Power Talk. If you would like to listen to CEO Power Cast program, past or tonight, you can find them listed on my website at www.ceopowertalk.com. Our next show is March 23rd at 6 p.m., where I will be interviewing another amazing woman breaking all these CEO barriers around the world. So look, be on the lookout for that. And I also want to invite you to reach out on my website and order my book, All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Laura C. Bullock, and you are tuned in to CEO Power Talk.